Well, good morning. What a blessing it is to be here with you guys this morning. And thank you guys, the Narrow. That was outstanding. I know we just prayed, but I'd like to go ahead and pray real quick before we get started. Dear Jesus, I just come to you now, and I thank you for coming into this place this morning and having your spirit move. Lord, I ask that you go before us throughout the rest of this message, and as we dive into your word, that it moves throughout people's lives and that it's applicable today, tomorrow, and forever, Lord. I ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All righty, so I'm super thankful to be up here this morning. I've got one of my oldest best friends in the world here, Kane, and Rachel, his wife. It means a lot to me that you guys are here, and I'm just glad you're here this morning. But so we're going to talk about a couple things this morning, and today's March 3rd, right? Sunday, March 3rd. What happened 1 month ago exactly today, Sunday, February 3rd? What? Well, other than snow. Super Bowl. Super Bowl, right? That was on, wasn't that February 3rd? I think. Well, I don't know. I don't keep up with a lot of football either, right? But it's a pretty big game. By show of hands, how many people watch the Super Bowl this year? Well, you guys should have known it was February 3rd then, all right? But anyway, so we didn't watch it either, but we do like football. I do enjoy football, but I don't keep up with it as much as, you know, other people do, mostly because it falls during hunting season and a man's got to have his priorities. So, but we do enjoy the games. But more importantly than the games, I enjoy the activities that go along with football. And by activities, I mean chicken wings. And by chicken wings, I mean Erica's chicken wings. And if you haven't had Erica's chicken wings, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. But if you think you could compete with her, we're doing a test period, and you can drop off the wings at our house by next Friday. And if they're good enough, I'll let you know. If not, we'll keep trying. But we love the activities around football and all of those things. And when we do sit down to watch a game, I think I notice things that a lot of people probably don't notice. You know, I may not be watching the exact play that's occurring on the field. I may not be watching, you know, the scoring play or the movement happening. And this goes for any sport, really, but we're going to use football as the analogy this morning. So my Monroe Central peeps, help out my Wapahani folks, because we don't have football at Wapahani. So Monroe Central, keep us straight. If I mess up the lingo, let me know. But I notice things taking place outside of the game at football, right? I'm watching the guys on the sidelines. And what I mean by that is, if you've ever paid attention to the guys on the sidelines, there's a hunger in their eyes. They're excited. When a good play happens, they're cheering. They're ready. You know, it happens in the dugout of baseball. It happens on the bench in basketball. But football, like, they're going up and down the line, and they're cheering, and they're going crazy. And it's really kind of, it's motivating, and it's passionate, right? But the biggest thing is, they're looking for their chance to get off the sidelines and get in the game. And you can see that in their eyes. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning, is God's call for us to get off the sidelines. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in Jonah, the book of Jonah. We're going to hop around a lot. We're going to start in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And I brought my boys' football because, like I said, I never played football, so it's not regulation. Any of you guys play football? No? No. Not regulation, but it'll do the trick. So if somebody starts snoozing, go ahead and toss it at them, right? But let's go ahead and read Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So what happened here? As we're reading on, this was Jonah's moment, right? Jonah had been on the sidelines, and he was riding, I think in basketball they call it riding the pine, riding the bench. So he was off, right? And God's calling his number. God's pulling on his jersey and saying, this is your opportunity to get off the sidelines and do something for my kingdom. But what does Jonah do? In verse 3 it says, Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. And in my Bible, in the NIV version, it really highlights ran. And when I read that verse, I start to think, and going back to the football analogy, you know, you've got the coach making the call, he's making the play, and maybe when the quarterback goes out, he's going to say, you know what, I think I may know different. Does anybody know what it's called when the quarterback changes the play at the last minute? Audible, right? An audible. I'm learning my football lingo. So it's an audible. So Jonah kind of calls his own audible here, right? God laid out the play, says, go to Nineveh, preach the word. They're wicked. They need it. And Jonah's like, I don't know about this one, coach. I think I can do without Nineveh. I really don't want to go there. And really, it was because of fear, right? But Jonah calls his own audible. And as we read on, and you're all pretty familiar with the story of Jonah. And, you know, he boards the ship and he goes out into the sea. And, you know, as a sailor, this verse gets pretty evident to me, because when it talks about the violent storms that came about it, you know, when I was in the Navy, we did, I did two translants, which means it's pretty much just a transfer across the Atlantic, right? And both times I was on an aircraft carrier, which, if you've never seen an aircraft carrier, they're huge. But even so, they have this thing where they call it securing for sea, because the seas get so rough. And so when they're securing for sea, it's pretty much just these massive cables and straps that come down, and it secures things to be in proper places so it doesn't slide around and shift as the ship moves, including your racks. You know, I know my sailor friends know, for those of you that don't know, a rack is what you sleep in, and it's nothing more than a steel coffin. But it's very, very small, and you have straps that you have to strap yourself in, so if you start to shift to the side, you're not going to roll out and hurt yourself. So when we read on, and you know, it starts talking about that violent storm that comes about, I can vividly picture this, right? And you start to see that Jonah and the crew, they're realizing, okay, something's got to happen. Something's going on. We need to calm this storm, if we will. And what does Jonah say? Jonah says, you know, throw me into the sea. This is my fault. I'm running from God. I'm fleeing from the Lord. And it's at that moment that Jonah realizes he fumbled, right? Let's keep with our football analogy. He fumbles. Not only does he fumble, but he knows that he fumbles, and he's like, okay, what do I do here? And he says, throw me into the sea. They throw him into the sea, and you know the rest of the story. God provides the fish to come up and swallow him, and he's in there for 3 days, and it continues on. But with that fumble, it reminds us of something. And as we talk about Jonah's whole story, there's going to be a part in your life that I truly believe, that all of our lives are applicable to Jonah at some point. So let's do a game recap real quick. So Jonah gets a call. Coach says, get in the game. Jonah runs, calls his own audible, right? And by doing so, he fumbles. And with that fumble, he realizes he fumbles. So let's fast forward just a little bit later to chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that he will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. So we just did our game recap, right? We know that Jonah had the call, called an audible, fumbled, but what happened right there, right? The city was saved. Nineveh was saved. 120,000 people were saved. In terms of football, I'd say it's kind of a spiritual touchdown, right? Because Jonah heard the call that God had placed on his life. He obeyed the call, he listened to the call, and God was glorified and the city was saved. You see, when God puts these calls on our life, it's to glorify him and people be saved and the kingdom be built. That's what a call is for. And you know, Brenda shared something really great a couple weeks ago at at prayer meeting, and it's really, really stuck with me. And she started off prayer meeting by saying that all of us have a call on our life. Every single person has a call. Christ is your personal Savior. We all have that call. Whether we're running from it right now or not, we have that call to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. And then she continued on, and she's like, but it doesn't stop there, because once we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, we're on His team. And when we're on His team, He requires us to get off the sidelines. He requires us to get in the game, right? And this is where Jonah, he's on God's team, but he's just been sitting here, go team, got it, go team. And God's saying, absolutely not, you've got the ball, go, right? So once you've accepted that original call, you've accepted what God is telling you to do, you're on His team, and He's going to require you to get off the sidelines and do more. But as we continue on, we can't start our celebratory dance just yet. You know, He's got the spiritual touchdown. He's going through the whole gamut of football. He's doing everything you could possibly think of, but he's got a touchdown. He's not ready to break it down and dance just yet, because when we look in chapter 4, what happens? Happens twice more. He fumbles, right? Because what happens? Jonah gets angry. Jonah gets angry about the city getting saved. It doesn't make any sense. God just saved 120,000 people. Why would Jonah be angry? Because Jonah wasn't looking to the coach. Jonah wasn't looking to God. Jonah said, you know what, God, why did I have to go to Nineveh? I called an audible back at Tarshish saying, hey, I don't need to go. I knew you were merciful. I knew you were going to forgive them. I knew you were going to save them, right? And Jonah, he's angry. He's super angry at God about this. He's like, you've made me get off the sidelines and do something I didn't want to do. I was scared to do that. I didn't want to partake in that. And we see him continue to get angry, because we, you know, the rest of the story where, you know, at the end of chapter 4, where God provides the vine for Jonah and provides all the shade, and Jonah's happy about the shade, and then the sun comes up and it withers the vine, and then Jonah's cursing the vine and the sun. He's like, where'd my shade go, right? He's mad again. He's fumbling. Two fumbles in a row, still in the same play. And what does God do, though? In verse 10, we see it. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight, and it died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about the great city? In coaching words, that's kind of coach putting the player in his place going, well, if you'd have just trusted me, I'm the coach, I see the play, I see what's happening. Now let's apply that to our lives today. Right? Because there's at some point throughout the story of Jonah where we can say, I'm probably right there right now, right? If you haven't accepted that original call, you're not on the team and you're missing out.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You're missing out because this team's heaven bound. Yeah. And that's where we're going and that's where we want to be. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't accepted that original call from God, now's the time to do it. But the second part, let's say that, you know, you're on God's team. You've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, but you've been playing Jonah, and you've been riding the pine, right? And God's saying, I want you to get involved. I want you to teach a Sunday school class. I want you to lead something. I want you to do more. And you're like, oh, I can't really make grilled cheese sandwiches. That's not my calling. I can't really do X, Y, Z. That's not really my thing. God, I don't really want to do this because it's scary, right? Getting in the game's scary. I don't know if you've ever watched a football. Is Logan here? I don't know if you've ever watched a whole lot of football games, but those guys are big, and if they hit you, it's going to be scary, right? But God is saying, I've got this. I am your coach. Trust me. I'm not calling this play because I don't know the outcome. He knows the outcome,
amen.
Right? So that's the second part. Or maybe you're further along in life in your spiritual walk, and you know God's put you in the game a couple times, and you've had those fumbles. Right? Life's just hit you in a couple places and you've got fumble after fumble. You know, looking at fumbles, Jonah's not the only one in Scripture that fumbled.
Amen.
You know, I mean, David, Peter. Peter fumbled 11 or 12 times and he was still the rock that Jesus was going to build his church on.
Amen.
Right? So fumbles happen and God's aware of that as a good, loving coach. But he wants us to move on from that, right? And now's this time, because now you can't really leave here and say, well, I didn't hear about what to do after fumbling, right? I just told you. We just talked about Jonah, so you can't say you don't know. So that's the third part. Or maybe even better yet, in your spiritual walk, you've had a spiritual touchdown, right? Maybe God has used you for a powerful victory for the kingdom. Maybe 120,000 people were saved, just as the great city of Nineveh. Maybe. But just because that touchdown occurred, the game doesn't end, right? Just because those people were saved doesn't mean that the mission is over. Amen. We live in an awesome, awesome time, and the fields are ripe. The fields are ripe.
Amen.
And once you've accepted that original call, you're on the team. And being on the team requires more. It requires a lot more. It requires us to dig deeper, get off of the sidelines, and have that hunger in our eyes, just as those football players do. So we'll do a quick game recap. Jonah, he had the original call, right? He called an audible. Then he fumbled. Then he had a touchdown, and then he fumbled again. But God still said, you know what? I can use you.
Amen.
I'm going to use you.
Praise the Lord.
We can all relate to one of those points at some point right now in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's 1 through 4, at some point that's applicable to all of us, that God is calling us to get off the sidelines. You know, I used to say that my testimony was that of a modern-day Jonah. And Eric and I would talk about it a lot. And it came to me actually while I was deployed on the aircraft carrier, because in 2005, actually in this Bible right here, it was February 12th, 2005, I was with Kane Pretty and a couple other guys at a midwinter retreat. And I wrote that I was initially called into some kind of ministry, right? And throughout life, things happen and things come. And, well, let's just be honest, I called an audible, right? I called an audible and I possibly ran from what God was telling me to do. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. And it was a humbling experience. I remember sitting, actually laying in my rack on board the ship and thinking to myself, what am I doing right now? God, what is your call on my life? And he reminded me, I pulled your jersey a long time ago, Dan. I pulled your jersey in 2005. You know, at this time it's 2014, right? Pulled your jersey in 2005. What are you doing? And God's saying, I'm pulling it again. I'm pulling it again. Even in what you're doing now, I'm pulling your jersey. Get in the game. Get off the sidelines. The field is ripe.
Amen.
Now is the time. Accept this call and obey, and just watch this spiritual touchdown that I'm going to make happen and be glorified in the process. That's something we can all relate to. It truly is. And that's my prayer for you guys this morning. As we're going through life and, you know, we're tackling life's hardships, we have a coach.
Amen.
We have a loving, patient coach that has the good playbook.
Amen.
Really good playbook for us to go through this game. Spiritual touchdowns are attainable.
Yes.
And once those spiritual touchdowns are attained, the game doesn't end. It's an ongoing game, and it's fun. And it's fun, and I promise this is the team you want to be a part of.
Yes.
It truly is, because we are heaven-bound. And being heaven-bound means that I'm not playing for the name on the back of my jersey, but I'm playing for Jesus Christ in his kingdom,
Amen.
Right? My spiritual touchdowns aren't my victories. They're victories for Jesus alone.
Yes.
Guys, I hope that if you're not on that team, that you'll join this morning. I truly do. So God is calling each and every one of us to get off the sidelines and get involved in his game. God wants us to listen to him and his call, not call our own audibles. We have all fumbled before, and we're probably going to fumble again. But God's a loving coach, and he's ready to put us back in the game.
Yeah.
When we listen to the plays that God is calling, when he's pulling on those jerseys, he's glorified and spiritual touchdowns will occur.
Yes.
We're going to open the altars here in a minute as we wrap up, but I want you to search your hearts this morning and think about Jonah's story and think about where he was at and all of the things that he had went through and how that's going to apply to your life. Not just today, tomorrow, 5 years from now, because this game's not going to end. You can go out tomorrow and the city of Muncie can all be saved, but guess what? Then we move on to Indianapolis.
Right.
Then we move on to Chicago, right?
Amen.
The field is ripe. The players are ready. Let's get off the sidelines and listen to God's call.
Yes.
The altars are open. Jesus, I just ask that you look into everyone's hearts this morning, Lord.
Yes.
And that is, we heard the word of Jonah, and we're looking through his life, that we stop to reevaluate where we're at personally, God. Are we running away from that original call to accept you? Lord, I'm asking that if there's anybody in here that hasn't accepted you and hasn't joined this team, that you tug at their heartstrings, God.
Yes,
that you say, you need to be a part of this team. I want my name on the back of your jersey. We can do great things.
Yes.
God, if there's people that are calling their own audibles, if you're saying, hey, get off the sidelines and do more, God, I ask that you pull at their heartstrings this morning.
Yes,
that you give them the motivation and the courage to step off the sidelines and say, I'm ready. Put me in, coach. God, for the people that have fumbled and are repeatedly fumbling this morning, Lord, I just ask that you give them the strength to hold on the ball and play hard, God. Play for your kingdom, because this team is heaven bound. And we want to focus on you and have victories for you. Lord, we know that spiritual touchdowns are attainable. And for those of us that they're at that point in their life where they're experiencing spiritual touchdowns, Lord, help them grab a teammate and take them on with them. God, we don't want to go through this alone. We've been talking about being better together. And Father, I just want to take everyone with me. I want to build this team to the point that there's no room on the bench and we're all on the field, God. God, I ask that you be with the physical needs in the church this morning. Lord, you know that there's several people physically hurting and needing a healing touch. And I just ask that you move through their lives, Lord, and heal them in the way you see fit. Father, more importantly, I ask that you be with the spiritual needs in the church. You know, it's hard to admit, but there are people at this point right now that they are fumbling. They are calling their own audibles. They're saying, I know the way, God. Yeah, you're the great coach, but I got this. Lord, I ask that you move in their lives into an applicable way that they can use this scripture and say, no, I know you can save this city. I know you can do great things, God, and I want to be on your team, and I want to be heaven bound. Jesus, I just ask that you empower each and every person in here to see that truth and to want to bring people along with them. And I ask all this in Jesus' precious name.